All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN, with a mini show following the Hawks' victory. And that game didn't need to be as tight as it was, that's for sure. But we're here till midnight tonight. We're going to have all of our regular features jammed into this hour. We've got the midnight movie reviews, which are now on the Saturday night movie reviews with Colin and Eric. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. And right around 11:20-ish or 11:30, and we will do that. We also have Straight Out of Context, and of course, Nick D Show Spies. And you know what that is, Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to the station 24/7. And if I'm mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. That's C-C-O-L-L-I-N-S, ccollins@wgnradio.com. Same with Straight Out of Context. You can pull something out of context, whatever anybody says on this station, and it sounds dirty, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it off to ccollins@wgnradio.com. And we are going to kick off the show with Drunks in the News, which is brought to you by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. We are always happy that the Gale Street Inn is sponsoring Drunks in the News, and that'll be coming up. I also want to make an announcement here tonight. I'm very, very excited, and I want all my Nick D fans to stay tuned. After midnight, Red Eye Remix, brand new show, live right here on WGN. Amy Guth and a whole group of people are going to be here to take Red Eye and put it on the radio. And they're going to be covering all the music, the nightlife events throughout the city, all kinds of great stuff. So if you like Red Eye, you're going to love Red Eye Remix. And Amy will be in here with a group of people every Saturday night starting at midnight to 2. It's live, it's local, it's Red Eye Remix, and we are very, very excited about it. So all you the Nick D fans, stay tuned for that. It's going to be a great show, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be hanging out here late on Saturday night. So make sure that you stay tuned after midnight to Red Eye Remix right here on WGN. All right, Nick D fans, stay tuned for that. All right, let's do this.
One bourbon, one Scotch, one beer.
That's right.
Well, I ain't seen my baby since.
That's right. This is when we take all the stupid drunk stories of stupid drunk people doing stupid drunk stuff when they're stupid and drunk. We read them all together, we vote on them, and you get to read one of the stories as well, and we call it Drunks in the News. Brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. DJ Nick is going to be Nick J. DJ Nick J is going to be our Drunks reader tonight. And if you would like to read a story, find a link to a funny drunk story. Send it to Craig at ccollins@wgnradio.com. Say, hey, Craig, I would like to read this on the air. He'll get in contact with you. We'll record it. Not only do you get to be a part of Drunks in the News, but you also get yourself a $50 gift card to the greatest restaurant on the planet and the sponsor of this segment, the Gale Street Inn. Here we go.
Tell you a story.
That's right.
About the house rent.
That's correct. Drunk number one.
Had to tell the landlady I lost my job.
After exiting a McDonald's drive-through lane, an intoxicated Ohio motorist led cops on a short chase because, quote, he just wanted to eat his Big Mac before he stopped. Responding to a call about a reckless driver, Brunswick Police Department officers located suspect Randall Miller, 31, behind the wheel of his... I almost misread that and said Ryan Miller, because he only made 17,000 magnificent saves tonight. Sorry about that. Anyway, Randall Miller, 31, behind the wheel of a silver SUV that was departing the McDonald's around 1 a.m., I initiated a traffic stop, and the subject failed to stop, noted Officer Clifford Smith. who added that he chased Miller until the motorist pulled over. Miller, who smelled of booze and was slurring his speech, apologized to Smith, saying that he was, quote, too drunk and just wanted to eat my Big Mac before stopping. Miller, whose blood alcohol content measured more than three times the legal limit, was arrested on several counts, including drunk driving and fleeing an officer. Miller was arraigned last week, and he will on charges at the Medina Municipal Court. So there you go. Drunk number two! Drunk number two! Drunk number two! A Gold Coast woman who was inspired by Oscar-winning film Braveheart when she was drunkenly chased her neighbors. She drunkenly chased her neighbors with a sword. She has faced court and has been given back her freedom. Simone Nicole Bruce, 44, had been drinking a lot of wine while watching the Mel Gibson blockbuster in her home when she decided to pull out a sword and practice her fighting skills in the street. Frightened neighbors called police. And yesterday in Southport Magistrates Court, the stay-at-home mom pled guilty to going out armed and causing fear. She got 18 months probation. The prosecutor, tongue firmly in cheek, asked that the court add a probation condition that she refrain from watching overly violent films.
So I go back home.
Yeah.
I'll tell the landlady.
Drunk number three. Drunk number three. Drunk number three. Oh, yeah. Is our friend DJ Nick J reading Drunk Number Three. Here we go.
This is Nick reading for Drunks in the News. An Ontario man said he wasn't drunk behind the wheel. Heck no, he just poured alcohol into his ears, testing his theory about how Jesus healed the deaf, and that must have set off the breathalyzer. That was the story, and the judge wasn't buying it. Robert D. Bork, 55, of Sarnia, was convicted of a charge of driving while his blood alcohol level exceeded the legal limit. Court heard that last November, police stopped Bork's vehicle was because the taillights were out. Breath test showed Bork's blood alcohol level was 1.25 times the legal limit. Bork represented himself, testified that the alcohol he had put in his ears increased the breath test results, though he did admit he drank three beers at a pizza restaurant before being stopped and had one beer earlier in the day. Justice R.G. Hunter said there was no expert evidence regarding the breath test machine's accuracy and convicted Bork. He was fined $1,000 and given a one-year driving ban. This is Nick reading for Drunks in the News.
I don't even know what to say. Honest to God, I don't even know what to say. Okay, we have to vote. I don't even really think this is a contest, quite frankly. Craig, what are you going?
You got to pick the guy who put beer in his ears.
Absolutely.
Because he's Jesus.
I was tempted by the Big Mac, but yeah. Okay, I'll go with the Jesus freak.
It would have been the Big Mac had we not had that incredible Jesus freak story pouring beer in his ears. All right, there you go. And DJ Nick, you got yourself a $50 gift card to the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. The same bat channel, same bat time next week for Drunks in the News. Drunks in the News. Brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. Straight Out of Context and the Nick D. Show Spies are next, followed by the movie reviews on a very short edition of the Nick DiGilio Show for a Saturday night. F-bomb. Yes.
Out of context.
That's right. Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7 to everybody.
Out of context.
And when somebody says something that you could take out of context and it sounds vaguely dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. What do we got?
We have seven this week. The first one comes from Lisa, and this is Gary Meyer.
I go either way.
This is from Greg in Lake in the Hills, and it's Gary Meyer.
How it makes your tongue vibrate, or the way it goes in your mouth.
The next two are from Wild Bill, and they're both Gary Meyer.
Wow.
If my computer plays them.
When you guys blow, oh, man, it's fun to watch. How many times have you gone down to the basement to look at your junk?
Also from Wild Bill, this is you, Nick.
Oh, God. Keep that one in your mouth for a little while, all right?
The next two came from Ferguson, Bob Ferguson, our engineer.
Fergie.
And this is, yep, Fergie, this yep. is Bob and Marianne.
We'll talk to the woman who really was sort of behind the happy ending.
Yep. And also from Fergie, this is Steve Cochran.
I saw a guy, I'm not making this up, a few years ago, I saw a guy get blown.
That's it. Dirty mind for Fergie.
Oh, of course Ferguson found that one. All yeah. right, here we go.
What do you do?
Yeah.
No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies.
All right. You spy, you listen to the radio 24-7. If I mentioned the show was mentioned, jot down the date, the time, who said it, and send it off to ccollins at wgnradio.com. What do we got?
We have three this week. The first one comes from CL, and this is Steve Cochran.
Thanks, buddy. And before you go, just know that the entire Captain Phillips movie is based on Nick DiGilio and I, because we used to pirate the Odyssey, the dinner cruise.
I thought it was the Wendella, but
we started on the Wendella. We worked our way up to the Odyssey.
Food on the Wendella.
So hilarious yeah. how the tourists thought we were going to kill them. Oh, it's so funny.
There you go.
Steve. I get to hang out with Steve every morning at after 5 o'clock. It's awesome. Okay, next.
The next two, they actually are both from the Bob and Marianne show, and they're the same thing. One's actually setting the table, and the second one will kind of explain it. But the first one came from Decker, and this is Bob and Marianne.
Now, you know I love Nick DiGilio. He's been here for many years.
Yes.
He's terrific.
A great guy.
Yep. And he does a great job, and he works overnight now, 2 to 5 a.m. But his name.
I was waiting for the but.
His name shouldn't be first in the ad here in the listing, because you look weekdays, and then the first thing you see is Nick, and then you see Steve Cochran under that. But that's not how people live. Steve Cochran in the morning, that starts your day, and then Nick is the wind up overnight. So
let me have a look at that.
The order is incorrect.
I don't know, Bob. I think you're digging yourself into a big hole.
I'm just
here.
Helping.
I don't know.
I'm helping the advertising department. I'm correcting a flaw that it probably was overlooked, and now they're hearing this and they're thinking, Surratt's right.
Let's get rid of Surratt.
Yeah, you're probably right. That is what they're thinking. So, never mind.
That's the first one, uh-huh. and then they got a pretty big Twitter or text message reaction from that, and this is the second one. It was actually sent in by Wild Bill along with Decker.
What's come in today?
Oh, people are commenting about just about everything we talked about, but beginning with your, were you dissing or not dissing Nick DiGilio?
No, it wasn't. I love Nick. Who's here okay. overnight. I was just saying that in the ad for the station today in the Tribune, they ought to start with the Steve Cochran show in the morning and then end with Nick's show overnight. That's all.
Right. All. And somebody texted us and said, well, my day starts at 4 a.m. So there, Bob.
Okay, so well, him, I guess DiGilio, for some people, the day does start before Steve Cochran gets on. I stand corrected.
Yeah, the day starts after
But for
midnight.
for most people, technically speaking, that's true. Picky, picky, picky.
More texts about that? Watch it, Bob. Nick could get you fired. He's a long-timer there.
No, stand in line.
Bob, my first live musical experience was you introducing Styx at Lane Tech in 1969. Amazing.
I remember that, yeah.
But I can't believe you dissed Nick as the did. Early morning
I
show.
I didn't diss him.
When WGN has news on at 4 a.m. You should be happy you and your lovely wife have a show on WGN.
I am.
Why do you want to start some blank? You are supposed to promote the station. Answer me if you have some blank.
I do have some balls in my trunk. I have softball, I have 12-inch, 16-inch, and hardball.
I'm so disappointed in you.
There you go.
Wow.
So Steve should be on top of Nick. Okay.
Yeah. I guess that's how it works.
Ba-dum-bum.
Well, here's the thing. I have a very, very, very faithful fan base, and they get very angry when people – I mean, Bob did not diss me, and Bob and I are friends, and we respect one another very much. Obviously, the guy's a legend. But he was not. I don't think he was dissing. My fans get angry, you know. And it's. I think it's because it took so many years for me to get a full time gig here that the minute somebody just kind of says something a little bit off, they're just like, "Hey, man." So I love my fans. You guys are the best. My listeners are the best. And there you go.
Spies. Like us. Like us.
All right.
Like us.
Listen 24/7 whenever anybody says something about me or the show. Jot down the day and the time and who said it and all that cool stuff. News is coming up next, followed by the movie reviews with Colin and Eric right here on WGN. Walk along Hollywood. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN, and it is time for the Saturday Night Movie Reviews with Colin Suter and Eric Childress from eFilmCritic.com, and we welcome Eric and Colin to the show. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
All righty, then. Let's get right to it. Let's talk a little bit about some of the on-demand stuff. A lot of them are sort of these straight to on-demand things. We can skip a few of them, but I'm interested in, what do you know about, Eric, what do you know about Sunlight Jr.?
I know that Matt Dillon and Naomi Watts are in it,
and Norman Reedus is in it too.
Yeah, so that's enough, you know, to get me interested. I don't know what the movie is about.
The woman who directed it directed Sherry Baby, that one with Maggie Gyllenhaal from a few years ago, which I actually liked. So
okay, that's a lot of positives.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is it going to get a theatrical release?
I don't believe so.
Wow,
at least not in Chicago. Maybe it might pop up in a theater on the coast somewhere, but
okay. Well, I'm really curious about it. The cast is great,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoyed Sherry Baby. So it's Sunlight Jr., and it's about a couple that has an unwanted pregnancy while they're both pretty much broke during a bad economy, and that's basically the idea there. And I love everybody in it, so I'm looking forward to that one. All right, we got a couple of more of the on-demand things. First of all, Colin, why don't you tell us about All the Boys Love Mandy Lane, which is now in theaters and on demand. But here's the deal. I haven't seen it in 6 years.
Well, same here.
Have all of us? We just saw it 6 years ago, right?
We saw it at Flashback.
That's right, 2008. Can you remember? I mean, I remember really liking it.
Yeah, well, that's the same. That's my take on it, too. I'll just read the IMDb synopsis. A group of high schoolers invite Mandy Lane, a good girl who became quite hot over the summer, to a weekend party on a scheduled ranch, secluded ranch. That's late. I can't read. While the festivities rage on, the number of revelers begins to drop quite mysteriously. So it's a horror film. And what I remember about it was it was kind of like an early David Gordon Green film with a body count. So, you know, kind of moody and contemplative and all that, much like another horror film we're going to talk about later. I remember liking it. It's from Jonathan Levine, who's a good director. He did 50-50. And
Warm Bodies.
Yeah. And so I like his stuff, and it took about 6 years for this movie to finally come out.
It's amazing that it took that long. All right, Eric, and I remember you liked it too, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, as we programmed it at our festival earlier this year, it's definitely worth taking a look at.
Yeah. Okay. And it's only at the Music Box, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's playing at the Music Box, but you can see it on demand. And again, our memories are a little fuzzy because it was 6 years ago, but we did like it. So there you go. Okay, well, let's go to that horror movie that you guys are going to review because I didn't get a chance to see it. We Are What We Are. Eric, why don't you tell us about We Are What We Are? And I'm so excited about this film.
You should be. It's from director Jim Mickle, who did Stakeland.
Yes.
Really great vampire film.
Terrific movie.
And this one premiered at Sundance earlier this year, where I saw it. It's a remake of a 2010 Mexican feature. And it deals with a family whose mother dies mysteriously, and it's all about this sort of the sort of family tradition and this ritual that they might be preparing for in the coming season. The two daughters, played by Amber Childers and Julia Garner, are sort of struggling with whether or not they're going to sort of carry on the family tradition now that their sort of the matriarchal duties are handed over to them by their father. You can probably know what the big secret is in the movie. It's not that hard to figure out,
yeah.
And I'm sure it's probably ruined in the trailer as well.
They're kind of ambiguous in the trailer.
Well, the trailer. Yeah, that's right. I have seen the trailer. And the trailer does a very good job.
No, it's a great. I think it's a great trailer. I mean, I know what the twist is, but they don't give it away in the trailer.
The original movie.
And the trailer is really beautifully involving. I think it's a terrific trailer.
Yeah, and it's really very reflective of the movie itself. And the movie is really sort of beautifully shot. It has a sort of this great gothic feel to it. It's not, sort of a bloodbath by any means. It's very much takes its time with its horror and its build-up. It's really creepy. Performances are all really good in the film, and it has one hell of a beautiful payoff at the end of the movie. We keep talking about what a good year for horror this is.
Yeah.
This is one of the best ones of the year, horror-wise.
Can't wait to see it. I'm going to see it this week. I can't wait. Yeah. Colin, what do you think of it?
Yeah, I echo everything Eric just said. This might actually be my favorite horror film of the year. And I love this guy's work. I like Stakeland a lot. This one I think I like even more for all the same reasons. I mean, it's moody, it's atmospheric, it's gorgeously shot, a great score. And like Eric said, it makes you wait for the big climax, and it's worth the wait. Also, like Stakeland, it has Kelly McGillis, so I guess that's his recurring actress that he likes to use. And I believe it's the same kind of role that she's playing that she played in Stakeland. I might be mistaken, but it felt very similar.
Mm.
Anyway, highly, highly recommended.
Awesome.
Playing at the Music Box right now.
That's right, only at the Music Box, and that is We Are What We Are. Adding to the growing list of really great horror films for 2013. I'm serious, man. This is like a banner year for horror. If you're a horror film fan, boy, 2013 has turned out to be great. All right, very quickly, Eric, tell us really, really quickly about ACOD.
Okay, well, ACOD stars Adam Scott from Parks and Recreation, and he is an ACOD. It stands for Adult Child of Divorce. And his brother, played by the never funny Clark Duke, is getting married. So he wants his brother to try and get his parents at least together for the big wedding. They're played by Richard Jenkins and Catherine O'Hara. So it takes Adam Scott's character this journey to sort of reunite his parents and keep them from fighting. It's basically one of the worst divorces in history. And then it also involves him meeting up with the quote unquote researcher who actually wrote a book based on this divorce and his case and all these case studies, and she's played by Jane Lynch. It's a short film. It's only 82 minutes. This was a Sundance premiere. I just recently saw it this week, and it's worth checking out. It's actually really quite funny. It doesn't have much of a payoff, certainly not like We Are What We Are, you can't really argue with this cast. The cast is really terrific, and Amy Poehler is also in it.
Amy Poehler is hilarious.
Yeah.
Definitely
worth taking a look at.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny. I really did. And I'm a big fan of Adam Scott. And it was nice. It was very strange to see the two of them.
Yep, and enemies.
In the roles they're playing, considering they have a really great showmance or TV romance on. I thought it was very entertaining. It's playing at the Landmark Century Cinema. It's also on demand. ACOD, Adult Child of Divorce. Very funny movie. Colin, you should check it out. It's very funny.
I will.
All right, take a quick break. We will very, very, very quickly review Machete Kills as quickly as humanly possible. And then we'll get to Captain Phillips, which is the big one for this week. That's all coming up right here on the Movie Reviews on WGN. All right, an abbreviated show tonight, so we want to get right to it. Movie Reviews are going to continue, and Eric and Colin are here. Eric, tell us as briefly as possible about Machete Kills.
Okay. Well, this is the sequel to the movie that was based on the fake trailer that Robert Rodriguez created for Grindhouse. Machete, Danny Trejo's character, is back, again, trying to save the world from people bent on nuclear terrorism. Charlie Sheen plays the president. Damien Bashir plays one bad guy. Mel Gibson plays another. And Machete tries to kill them all. This movie is not good. I will say it's a little bit better, I think, than the first one, strictly because I think some of the performances are very funny, notably Damien Bashir and Mel Gibson, who I think are both very funny in the movie. But the problem in the movie is Rodriguez, is that he's a guy that sort of like a little kid who has an action movie and just fast forwards to the carnage and doesn't really like the build-up very much. So thumbs down.
I am completely done with Robert Rodriguez. I think I have been for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I was bored out of my mind. And this thing is a solid, this is like 2 hours long, this movie.
It's close, yeah.
It's close, and it feels it, too. I didn't like this at all. I mean, I'll give you, I think Mel Gibson is having a blast. And Damien Bashir is as well. I'm a big fan of looking at Michelle Rodriguez. That makes a lot of attractive women in this movie, I will
say. Very much so.
So I will give it that much. But I was bored out of my mind. I didn't like it. His stuff is forced, and I'm not a Robert Rodriguez fan, and this just put me to sleep, practically. All right, so let's get to something good, shall we? Colin, tell us about Captain Phillips.
All right. Well, this is based on a true story, and the title character is played by Tom Hanks. He's a captain of a cargo ship with a crew made up of union workers, none of whom have any, like, military experience. The ship gets hijacked by a group of Somali rebels who basically want to rob it of any money they can get out of it, but they're not going to get much, $30,000, not much. Eventually, Captain Phillips is taken hostage. And much of the movie takes place in a very small rescue boat crammed with four people inside of it. So if you didn't get your fill of claustrophobia from last week with Gravity, here's another one for you. And eventually, you know, more military are brought in to deal with the standoff. This is from Paul Greengrass, who did Bloody Sunday in United 93. And this guy knows how to make these very compelling docudramas or docu-thrillers.
Yeah.
Basically very realistic movies make you feel like you're really there experiencing these true events.
Well, you said that. You said that, Colin. Man, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. The cast who's assembled here is made up mostly of non-actors, particularly the head guy, who is brilliant in this movie. And they're all of them. They're as good as any group, as good as the group he assembled for United 93. Everything he does is in service to, you know, adding realism without shortchanging the story, or, you know, making you feel like you're just looking at, he always makes you feel like you're with real people and not with just actors playing real people. I mean, Tom Hanks really disappears into this role. And his final moments in this movie are, I think, among the best of his career. It's definitely his best performance since Castaway. This is, a great movie in the same way that all of Greengrass's movies are great. They're compelling. They just keep you pinned to your seat, and you really feel like you're there. And this is really one of the best films of the year.
Eric.
Yeah, and if you're into asphyxiation at all, I recommend a double feature of Gravity and Captain Phillips, because Greengrass knows how to tighten the screws like few people do. I mean, we saw that with the two of the Bourne movies that he did, and this one, the boarding of the ship is unbelievable, and then the final 20 minutes of the film involving the SEALs and the standoff is as extraordinary, if not more so, than what people praise Zero Dark Thirty for. Tom Hanks is magnificent in the movie. His final scenes in the movie are just stunning. The head Somali that you referred to, his name is Barkhad Abdi, a first-time actor, is going to get a lot of attention at the end of the year, I believe. This is the ultimate message of this movie is pretty much, if you're not born in the United States, you're kind of screwed. And especially if you try to do anything to the United States, you're screwed because the SEALs are not messing around. It's a fortunate, it's a really sort of interesting sort of tale that he weaves alongside all the thriller aspects. But, this is absolutely a terrific movie.
One of the best films of the year. Paul Greengrass is the man. That's all I'm going to say. And this is, you guys have both mentioned, this is as good a performance as Hanks has given in anything. And I'm including Castaway. And he was extraordinary in Castaway. He is great in this movie. And I was kind of concerned when I had heard that he was cast. Not because, because I don't like him, because I do. Of course I like Tom Hanks. But I was concerned because of, the way that Greengrass usually casts. He casts unknowns, or people that you kind of know, like in Bloody Sunday. James Nesbitt's not a guy that everybody knows. And United 93 was a cast of unknowns, except for maybe two or three people. And so to have a big movie star in the middle of this, I was concerned. Do you know what I mean? It seems like it would take a little bit of the authenticity away. It doesn't, though, because he's so good in it. And this is such an intense movie and so beautifully made. It's I'm telling you, if we have if we continue to have these really great adult, beautifully made Hollywood films this fall, it's going to be a hell of a fall.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got Gravity, yep. Gravity last week and this week. These are two of the highest quality films that Hollywood has put out in a very, very long time, featuring movie stars. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I loved this movie. I really did. Captain Phillips, I think, is one of the best films of the year. And if you haven't seen Gravity, see Gravity. Try to see it at IMAX in 3D. And if you you want to follow it up with another intense, really beautifully made thriller with, you know, again, a single great – well, all the performances are good in this movie. But, you know, but I think Tom Hanks is going to be on the ballot at the end of the year, just like Sandra Bullock is going to be on the ballot at the end of the year. And I think both of them have a really strong chance of winning.
Between this week and last week, we can forgive them for extremely loud and incredibly close.
I don't know. That one. That's a little
that
tough.
That one hurt.
That one hurt. Yeah, that one hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got next week, guys?
We got Carrie next week.
Yeah.
And And we got Escape Plan with Stallone and Schwarzenegger.
Oh God.
What else? Is there something I'm missing next week, Colin? There's something else major opening. 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave. Yeah, there you go. Continuing the very serious films of the fall.
Yeah.
There you go. The Oscar possible contenders for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. We will. We got a two-hour show next week, so we won't have to rush as quick, okay?
Great.
All right. See you guys later. Colin, Eric, thank you, guys.
Sure thing.
All right. Alrighty. There you go. There's Colin, there's Eric, and we thank them for joining us. We'll do it every week with the movie reviews on Saturday night. Hey, by the way, stick around, Nick D fans, because we got a great show coming up. Red Eye Remix with Amy Guth debuts live here on WGN right after the midnight news. Make sure you stay tuned for that. We got the news coming up.